Aaron, kind of sometimes when you preach, you kind of got a couple of thoughts and trying to put them together and explain your thoughts. You're kind of mixing your thoughts, what God has put in your heart, with the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. And certainly we'll read a lot of Bible and preach what the Bible says, but trying to make it kind of mixing it with the practical things of our life today and what we're dealing with. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 1 is where I'll be. And we'll kind of just think with you a little bit. And it might come out as a little bit of a mess of a message, but I think for those of you who know what I'm talking about in this message, I think it'll be helpful to you. Grab the door up again, Matthew. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Bible. And chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. These are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, in the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all the Lord had given him in commandment unto them, after he had slain Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Hebron, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth, Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare the law, saying, The Lord your God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the place of the Amorites, and to all the places nigh unto thereunto, in the plain, and in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, under the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. I'm going to talk tonight about you've come past this mountain long enough, or are we there yet? So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. I ask, Lord, you'd help, and I ask you'd speak. I ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow upon this service and upon me, your servant, Lord, as I try to speak your words and give your thoughts, Lord. I just pray we'd say what you want said, and I pray that we would think what you want to think and understand what you want us to understand, and you to speak to us individually. Lord, I think there's a few people probably in this room out of everybody that certainly this message could be life-transforming for others. It would be a help for them right now and an encouragement. And some others, maybe right now, it's not everything they need, but it will be, Father. And I just pray that each one of us would get what we need. Your word would not return void, but it would accomplish a purpose that you have for it. And we ask your Spirit to speak powerfully through the word tonight and help us to learn what we need to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Mount Sinai, they were here at this spot, one spot, and the mountains get confused in the Bible, but Mount Sinai is where they got the Ten Commandments, is where they came out of the Exodus, crossed the Red Sea, and basically they met God. They hung around God there. Moses went on the mount for 40 days, and then they got the commandments there. They made a covenant with God there, and God agreed with them, and they now were these servants of God, and then they stayed there. And this is a special place, of course. It's the Mount of God. They were told, build a fence around it, because if anybody touches this mount, they're going to die. And everybody in Israel just said, Moses, you go up and talk to God. We'll just stay down here. And you talk to God and just tell us what he says. And so Moses did that, and Moses came down. And they had good memories, bad memories, and all kinds of things happened there. In the end, although they made some mistakes and did some things wrong, they ended up staying there and making a covenant with God and making a deal with God and saying, yes, we'll be your people and keep your commandments. And he said, okay, I'll be your God and we will be forever together. And that's what happened there. And they stayed there for about a year, 11 months, I think 10 days they stayed there. And there they were in Mount Sinai. And then God said, now go up to the land north of you, and you're going to go up to Kadesh Barnea. And that's right outside the promised land. And I'll speak to you there. And then you're going to go in and possess the land that I've given you to possess. And the land of milk and honey, the promised land. So they go up to Kadesh Barnea. And it's 11 days' journey. The actual from Mount Sinai to get into the promised land takes them less than 15 days to get there. If they just wanted to go march on to the promised land. But they didn't go straight there. And we'll get there a little later. But it was a 15-day journey. And they were supposed to go there. It wasn't very far away at all, the way they're supposed to go. God had them go a little bit roundabout way and go up, and they ended up Kadesh Barnea, kind of on the border of where they needed to go. And then a bunch of bad things happened. God says, go in and see the land I've given you. And they said, let's send 12 spies in and let's see what the land looks like, see if it's really a good land, see if it's a great land and what it's like and what the people who dwell there are like. And are they enemies and are they strong and are they powerful? So they go, they send the 12 spies up there, and you probably know the story, but the 12 spies go in. They see the giants, they see the walled cities, they see the grapes of Eshcol and the great wealth of the nation, all the blessings. And they come back, and as they get back, 10 of the spies say, "Oh, we can never conquer it, and we're dead. And boy, God brought us out here to die, and the enemies are too strong." And then the 2 said, "Let's go in. It's a wonderful land, and we're well able to overcome our enemies." And then the whole nation just started screaming and crying. And they said, "We're going to die. Why did God do this to us? Why did you do this, Moses? We're going to kill you. And the enemies are too powerful, and we're going to die." And God gets very angry at there. It was called the provocation, is what the name God calls it. And refers to this all the way through the Bible, as a provocation, where they provoke God to anger. They made him mad because they didn't believe God could deliver their lives and deliver them into this promised land. And they began to curse the land and everything else. And how about killing Moses? And then we've joined that at verse 21 here. It says, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And he came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and by what cities we shall come." And of course they went and searched out the land. And it's a long passage. Verse 26, "Notwithstanding you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And he murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, this people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven. Wherefore we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. And I said unto you, dread not, nor be afraid. The Lord will go with you and help you and take you into this land. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God hath bare thee as a man doth bear a son, in all the places that you went till you came to this place, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God." And they rebelled against God. What happened is God said, you know what, fine. He says, I am so frustrated that you guys will not believe me and not go into this blessing I've given you because of fear. You're not going in. And he says, you're going to wander in the wilderness until an entire generation dies off. And you're gonna wander around, and you're gonna dwell in this area. And this area is around Mount Seir, and this is the Sinai Peninsula, the little triangle there between Africa and Asia. Is you're just gonna wander around this area, and you're gonna wander around until you die off. And for 40 years, they wander around until all of them die off. Can you imagine a 15-day journey taking 40 years? Oh man, I like to travel a lot. I'm crazy. I go on an overseas trip, or I'm going to the other side of the world. I love it. I love going on mission trips. I love traveling. I love long driving trips. I mean, I've driven here to Chicago probably 15 times and back. And I love long trips, and I love driving all over. But that's a little much. 40 years ago, 15 days. That's a lot. My kids, they are amazing travelers. I don't know if they have a choice. I'm a slave driver on trips, and I don't know how much a choice there is. I'm already leaving. Anybody have to go to the bathroom? And they know I mean it. This is not a threat. If we're going to Portland, we got 3 hours. You better go now. And they do great it. Then we took a trip to almost Yellowstone. And I got a couple of "Are we there yet?" and it's a little farther. Every bridge we go over down going into Oregon, our kids, some of our younger kids say, "Is this the Oregon Bridge?" But it's not. It's the Lakewood Bridge, and we're not there yet. We want to get there, and here they are wandering 40 years. And then after 40 years, they're kind of in an area around Mount Seir, and it's another mount that's northeast of Mount Sinai. And they've been wandering around for 40 years, and then we join in chapter 2 here. It says, "Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, Ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn ye northward." There's that phrase again. Different mount, 40 years later. He said it in chapter 1. He says, "You have compassed this mountain long enough." And he says this in verse 6, "Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." Chapter 2, verse 3, "Ye have compassed this mountain long enough." You've been here long enough, and it's time to go. Time to move on. Now, they were supposed to be at Mount Sinai for the year. God didn't tell them to go anywhere. Remember, they had the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud? It never moved. And they were still following the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and it took them to Mount Sinai and took them there, and they stayed there. And I want to say, just jump a little bit ahead in the message, but I want to say this. God sometimes leads you to stay where you're not expecting to stay for a while. Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes you need to grow. Sometimes you need to change. And sometimes it's just God says you need to be here to develop. Mount Sinai, stay here about a year, but now you've been here long enough. You've gotten what you're going to get at Sinai. We got the commandments. We got Exodus. We got Leviticus. We've got the books of the Bible. Now, head out. Go to Kadesh Barnea and get ready to go in the Promised Land. Oh, you blew it. All right, wander around here. Now I'm going to park you right here at Mount Seir, and now you're staying there for a long time. And then he says, okay, now you've dwelt at this mount long enough. And he had them there for a while, but then he said, you've been here long enough. Whatever is God's purpose for them being there, God never led them any farther. But now he says, it's time. You need to move on now and to go where you're supposed to go, which is the Promised Land. And eventually get there. The Promised Land in the Bible is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And you eventually go in the Promised Land and you go to victory and you possess the land. And that's what the eventual plan was. So there's a few thoughts here. Number one, there is a time when God says to move on. There's a time when God says to move on. Go to new places. There are some of us who are wired to stability and wired to not changing. There are some of us who do not like change. There are some of us who like change. There is a great strength comes to people who don't like changing, but there's also a great weakness. A great weakness is very simple. You don't want to change when you get comfortable. And there's something about that that's noble and good, because that makes people stay at a church for a long time, makes people stay in a marriage for a long time, makes them not have to always have the newest product and all that stuff. They're still using their old transistor radio and saving money, and they're doing those things. I shouldn't say, my wife, she has the same alarm clock that we've had since how old were you when you got that thing? 14 or 15. Now it's this thing where the cord is kind of messed up, so you have to push the cord in back right and not move it at the wrong angle or it blinks off. And how many of you still try to make things work even after that point? All right, those are good folks right there. You buy new things at every point, people. I tell you what, you blow more money. Keep it and give me the money. It's good because you have that stability and there's a lot of good things about it. But also, did you know some people I've seen who are steady people will stay in misery forever? And stay in discontent and stay in bad situations forever and stay and never change and fix things and grow? Did you know I've seen people with very bad character, knew they had faults, knew they had things wrong in their life, and they knew they needed to change it, and they're going to change it someday, and they've been thinking about it for about 25 years now. It is amazing to me. My nature is the consistent nature. My nature is steady Eddie. That's my nature. But when something's wrong, I generally just attack it. I just do. I just can't. I want to go after things. Hopefully, I always do in this spiritual life, just say, let's just deal with this thing. Let's just work on this thing. I don't like doing that, but I need to do it because I will stay in this same situation forever. I cannot stand life is too short, God's work is too precious for me to sit here and be someone who says, yes, I should really quit smoking. Yes, I should. And still be saying that in 5 years. You might have to lock me up. You might have to do whatever. But let's go and get this thing fixed. And so I'm going to quit soon. But that was funny. That was a joke. But either you all smoke or you think I smoke. Which one is that? Or both. Somebody says, we've had this marriage problem forever, as long as you remember. You live together. Fix it. Are you crazy? Do you want to stay there forever? You've dwelt at this mount long enough. Okay, at a certain point, maybe you're not strong enough to go into the promised land, but get what you're supposed to get while you're there and then go somewhere. We're supposed to be moving on. And sometimes God says to move on. Go to new places. Fix things. God says this in one place. How long halts you between two opinions? For a while, God said, why are you serving Baal and me? And finally, one day he says, prophet, go tell them. How long halts you between two opinions? Let's deal with this thing. I want to say, deal with stuff. Deal with stuff. Just move on. And God tells you when it's time. I want to say this. There is a time sometimes where you aren't strong enough, where you're not ready. But the problem is a bunch of people will say, yep, pastor said you're not strong enough, you're not ready. Hear that, honey? No. How long are you going to say that for? Because there comes a point where it's time. There's a time when you're not ready to, when you're not ready to go soul winning and have disciple people. Okay, but let's do that for a couple months and you get established and you read your Bible and you get to know God and you get a prayer life and then go do something. But don't dwell there forever. We want to move on. Let me just give you some verses on this because God has an expectation that you're going to eventually move on to perfection. Move on to perfection. And he says that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, you don't need to turn to all these. Verse 14, that we henceforth be more and more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they... verse 13. To all come to the unity of faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the fullness of the stature of Christ. I'm going to read you a bunch of verses that talk about where God expects us to be eventually, because you have got to be on the journey to perfection. You've got to not stay there longer than you ought to. Genesis 17:1, and Abraham is 90 years old and 9, and the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, I am the Lord God Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou perfect. He told a 99-year-old man that, by the way. He told him, I'm just too old to change. He's 99. And God still says, I want you to walk before me perfectly. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. 1 Kings 18, 61. And again, you don't need to turn to these. I'm going to read you very quickly a bunch of verses. 1 Kings 18. Or I'm sorry, 8:61. 1 Kings 8:61. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord your God and walk in his statutes to keep his commandments as unto this day. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect even as your Father in heaven is imperfect. 2 Corinthians and chapter 13. And verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort. So, what do you expect to be a perfect pastor? It doesn't matter what I expect of you. What God expects of us is to complete yourself and be complete and perfect. God does not have low expectations. And God didn't say, well, you're good enough, at least you're not killing people. That's not God. God says, hey, achieve perfection. Finish yourself and become complete. And so we see that. We should be on a journey to complete ourselves. I love what 1 Peter says it this way in chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1, It says, and beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. Add to. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you abound, you'll grow in these things. So it says right there, add, grow, move away from this to get this. Get this, add this. Get patience, get faith, get temperance, get this thing, and add godliness, and add virtue, and add to it, and add to it. And eventually you become completed. We're supposed to be on a journey, and God says move on at a certain point, and it's time to grow. He does that with the church, he does that with the person, he does that with everybody. It's time to change. Now, for a while, you have to develop. I don't tell Becca right now, who's almost 4 months old, walk! What's wrong with you? Okay? She crawled this week for the first time at 4 months. It's pretty good. She's not even 4 months yet, and she crawled. But you know what? I don't tell her to walk. But if she's six, you dwelt in this crawling thing long enough. And by the way, if you do not push your kids and challenge them to greatness, they will stay at pitiful weakness and underachieving forever. They will want, I can't do it. Yes, they can. Put chocolate in front of them. They can do it. They just can. I mean, but you got to decide. Now, you don't push them where they can't go yet. And God doesn't push you where you can't go, but he knows when it's time to go, and it's time to grow. And it's time to say you can pass this mountain long enough. Next, lack of faith and disobedience doesn't get you anywhere fast. They took 40 years to go 15 days. Why? Because they didn't believe God and they didn't obey God. And I've seen this, and I just promise you this. When you don't believe God and you do not obey God and do what he tells you to do, you're going to find your life going nowhere fast. Matter of fact, you're going to say, my life is going in circles. My life is getting nowhere. Why? Lack of faith and lack of obedience. You say, I got a shortcut. If God didn't tell you to take that shortcut, don't go on it. As a matter of fact, they tried to go in the promised land when God said, you're not going in. They decide, I'm going in myself. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, when he's telling the story of them and what happened to them, God said, you're not going to the promised land. And they said, we'll go in anyway. And Moses says, do not do that. God is not with you in this. And they went in anyway. And verse 42, it says, and the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously under the hill. The Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord. But the Lord did not hearken unto you. Now listen to me. This is a very important point for us to get today. They said, well, God's not going to send us in. We're going to go in. And you think as a Christian, you're going to do your own little cute idea and your own little way and not go through the steps that God has you to go through, and you're going to make it work. And it never works because God doesn't go with you. You go to a gunfight with a little stick. You go and fight Satan by yourself because God said, I didn't tell you to do it that way. You're just trying to take the easy way. I did not lead you to go that way. And it will not work. Stay at the mountain. Now, time to move on. Look, the pillar is moving. Follow it. And God says, you need to follow my instructions and believe that I can do it and trust me enough to wait on my time and my way and go my path. And I'm going to have you go up and go to the east and then go west over the River Jordan instead of up by the south the way you're trying to go. And I'm going to lead you my way. See, your good shepherd knows the way to lead each sheep. He knows if a sheep is lame. And some of us are lame. In more ways than one. And God knows what you can and can't do. And he's going to go and push you and push you and push you, yet not more than you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. A lack of faith and disobedience doesn't get you anywhere fast. I've seen people who wouldn't be patient on God and wait on God in their lives and wouldn't wait on God's timing and wouldn't wait on God's ways. And I've watched them over and over come to the same point in their life. Same point in their life. I've been here before. I've been here before. I've been here before. I've been here before. Not me. I don't have time for that. I have too much ADD to keep going to the same spot again. Okay? We've got to quit there. And if God's talking to you tonight, I think what he's saying to you right now, if he's talking to you, he's tapping your heart and saying, hey, you've been here long enough. And what you say is say, but I don't have the courage or strength to leave this spot. And God says, time to go. You've dwelt here long enough. I've given you enough grace and patience while you sat around here so you can grow a little bit, but no more. It's time you go somewhere else. It's time to move on in your spiritual life. It's time you move on to perfection, as the Bible says. It's time you move on and fix this thing. Do not accept you as you are unless you are satisfied that you are what God wants you to be. And I'm not there yet. And let God say, you've dwelt here long enough, it's time to move forward. We've got to move forward, and you've got to do that. We said, first of all, it comes a time when God says, move on. We said, secondly, a lack of faith and disobedience doesn't get you anywhere fast. Number three, don't get sidetracked by fighting the wrong battles. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 3 says, you've compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. That's going to the promised land. After the 40 years. And verse 4, and commanded thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast unto your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, the brethren of the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed to yourselves, therefore meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a footbreadth. Because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You can buy from them, you can sell from them, but you're not going to get it. Then he moves on later, verse 9. And the Lord said unto him, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them for in battle. For I will not give thee their land for a possession, because I have given unto Ar and the children of Lot for a possession. So God says, I am not giving you this land you're in right here. Do not try to take a foot of their land. It's theirs. It's not what I have for you. And when you go up through this land up here, those are the children of Lot. I promised them that land. That's not the land for you. Don't do anything with it. Don't fight with those people. If they need to buy something, buy it. But do not mess with it. Don't get sidetracked. You're going up north. You're crossing Jordan. You're going into Canaan land. That's my land for you. They might say, but there's less battles here. These people are not as strong. The people in Canaan are giants. And they were. And the children of Seir were giants. And the will of God always looks like a scarier, tougher place to go. And by the way, becoming what you ought to be always looks scarier and tougher. And it is. The only difference is you got the God of the universe going with you. And you plus God equals a majority. You plus God makes it easy to go in the promised land, but do not stay where you were. Do not stay because you say it's harder to go up there. I'll just stay here where it's easy and just stay with God. God says, I'm going up there, guys. I hope you join me. God is not in going backward. God does not open the Red Sea to go back to Egypt. That's not what God does. Don't get sidetracked by fighting the wrong battles. Going up without God will not get you anywhere fast. Going according to your plan, no matter how well thought out, it might be nice and it might look like nice land. And you might be sure you could take over those battles. However, God's going to take you into his land, in his time, in his way. And the good shepherd is a good shepherd who always leads you to the best place. Next, even in his will, it is at his pace. Let's go to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23. Even in his will, when you're following God, it's at his pace. You cannot go faster or slower than God leads you. Exodus 23, verse 27. And I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I'll make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Watch this, verse 28. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. How many of you can't stand bees and hornets. God says, I'm going to send hornets before you to bother your enemies before you even get there. And I'm going to send my fear on them before you ever get there. They're going to be afraid of you. And here's the fun thing about you've come past this mountain long enough. Here I am, content in my mediocrity, just sitting here just fine. All of a sudden, God says, move on. God has already moved on ahead of here. He's already prepared the way, and he's already given me the victory. He's already made the way. He's prepared my way. I do not see that until I get there. That is faith. Faith says, I don't know how I'm going to beat those guys, but I'm going to obey God. And Lord, it's up to you. You told me to go. Here I go. And you get here, and all of a sudden, the way is prepared. Your enemy's been stung a whole bunch, and they got fear upon them, and they're running from you, and they're afraid of you. And God's prepared the way, and you get there and find the victory if you believe enough to obey. So God tells you, I want you to change this thing in your life. You say, I'm not strong enough. God says, I said, you've dwelt in this mount long enough. Well, I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. Obey him. He's prepared the way, and he'll give you victory over your enemies. But you'll never find out unless you go where he says to go. He says, I'll send fear before you. I will send hornets before you and drive them out. Verse 30, though, little by little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou increase and inherit the land. He said, little by little, I'm going to do this thing. See, there was the immediate victory where they could have went straight to the promised land and conquered it. And they could have done that. But God said, even then, in that case, where he did have to wander 40 years, it's going to be little by little. He says why, the verse before, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. He says, if I just drive them out and there, whoosh, the land's open and you're still back here coming in, guess what? The land overgrows, the crops overgrow, wild animals come around, all the grapes and other things become overgrown, things collapse, you're not ready for the land, the animals will become wild and they'll multiply and they'll kill you and take your children. You can't go in there too fast because you will not be ready for it. Same thing it says in the New Testament. He says, a man takes out and cleans out one demon out of him and leaves it empty and seven more come back in. So you cannot get too much out until you're ready to handle the growth, until you're ready to grow into it. So God knows that pace. Now he says, okay, you dwelt here long enough. Now you can go in. But if you jump the gun on God and try to go too fast and not at his pace, you aren't strong enough to handle it. I've literally seen people go into the ministry who were not ready to be in the ministry and they could not handle it. And it destroyed them. How many of you ever seen somebody go into marriage when they weren't ready for marriage? And they weren't ready to handle it and boom, it destroyed them. It would have been better off if they'd have waited a year. They could have had 50 happy years instead of 6 happy months. Because they didn't wait a little longer. See, God's got a pace for you, and he says, okay, I'm leading your life. Let's go ahead and just get you to come to church every Sunday and read your Bible every day and have a prayer life. Okay, that's a good start. Let's get those things in your life. We're going to work on that. Now you get here. You grow. You start learning your Bible. You start learning to pray. You start going to church every Sunday. Now, God starts tapping your heart. Hey, there's some things inside of you that I don't like. There are some things you're doing wrong. It's time to fix those things. You say, wait a minute, I was happy to read my Bible and praying. I like my bad habits, Lord, don't you know? This is awesome. I get you, I get fun things I like. Why do we have to change this at all? God says, yeah, I've got to change some things. And by the way, I'm still going through this process. I come here, I grow, we fix something. And I'm pretty happy here. I'm pretty happy here. I've grown. And I've come to the next level. And then I stay here for a little while, and all of a sudden God says, hey, you need to fix this thing. I say, come on, that's not as bad as a lot of people are doing. I'm not robbing banks, Lord. I'm not killing people. And, you know, it's not that bad. God says, no, we're moving you to the promised land. And you've gotten now where you can move to that level. You know, if you got dumped on everything you're going to have to change in your life all in one day, you know, you get pretty discouraged. You get pretty discouraged. There's a lot of things in the Christian life you're going to end up when you get really mature giving up that the Bible doesn't say are sin. They're just too important to you. You're going to end up having to die daily And there's a lot of maturity things. But God says, you can't handle that now. As the Bible says, you're not able to bear that yet. At the time, you should be teachers. You have need to teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God. But you go to this next level, and now you grow into this level, and God says, okay, you've been at this mountain long enough, move on. Go into this promised land. But every step, when you're back here, you said, I can never do that. And you get here and say, wow, that's great, I made it. And you're comfortable and you're happy, and now God says, you can pass this mountain long enough, fix this. Ah, I liked it here. I was getting pretty happy here. Okay, move on. And if you're not careful, what you do is say, you know what, I've come this far. You know what? I'm better than most. I'm fine. And then you never get to go to perfection. And you never get to the promised land. And so the message basically is you have dwelt this mount long enough. You need to, at God's pace, when he says go, go. When he says grow, grow. And expectations that you move on. And God will move as fast as you can handle. But do not use an excuse when God will tap on your heart. And I'll be honest with you. There are things in my life that I was doing that right now I'm shocked that I was still doing, and God wasn't fixing that yet. Does that make sense? Now I look at it and say, oh, brother. I remember witnessing to somebody. I mean, I was up at the park at night. I'm sitting there, and I like this morning, I had a can of Copenhagen in my pocket. I had a big chew on my lip right here. And here comes the weirdos to park. It's 11, 12 o'clock at night, and weirdos come to parks at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. And here they come. And they knew me. Hey, what are you doing up here? And I'm like, I'm praying. Really? Man, I didn't know you were religious. I said, well, I became a Christian a little while ago. And yeah, I'm a Christian now. Really? Man, I want to know about God. Lord says, witness to him. I got a big old chew in my mouth. You know, Jesus loves you. And you know, I look back at that and say, I can't believe God used me. I can't believe God. But you know what? I had so many things I was trying to get in my life fixed besides Copenhagen. Now, I didn't just approve you chewing tobacco. Bless you ladies. But I didn't approve that. However, what I'm saying is I had to get to a certain level, and I grew out of it. And eventually we quit. Why? Because God was taking me and said, you're there now. Let's move you on. You dwelt here long enough. And the question is, have you dwelt somewhere long enough? Have you dwelt somewhere long enough? Is it time for God to say, move on? It's good. Let's get out of here. You've been making excuses for this way too long. It's time. I can help you do this thing. I'll move you in. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the word of God, Lord. Thank you that you teach us. And it's funny, you said the same words in two different mountains 40 years apart. You've dwelt here long enough. And Lord, the promised land's there waiting for every Christian. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the word of God. We've got great power. Help us not to dwell in mediocrity. Help us, Lord, to move on to great things. And help us, Lord, when you say move, we get up and say, okay, I've been here long enough. It's time for me to become a better Christian. And Lord, I pray that tonight, even some people who have things that they think they thought they would never conquer would in faith say, I'm not going to wander around for 40 years. I believe you, God. I'm going to conquer this thing. Lord, maybe tonight decide that. Lord, may tonight we step out in faith. May tonight we decide we believe you enough to obey you. And may tonight some people say, I've come past this mountain long enough. I'm going to the next thing. In faith, believing wherever God's going to lead, you're going to help us to make it. Please, Lord, I pray we understood the message tonight, and I pray that we would follow it. And I pray that we would add to our faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, brotherly kindness. And just be the kind of people who move and grow in our lives. And not say, I've achieved, and stay there. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.